Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi. Welcome back into the Forced to Punt podcast. I am your host, Steven Cerda. Thank you guys for joining us each and every week. Hopefully you're still in playoff contention. We've only got a couple of more weeks before we start getting into the fantasy postseason as we are headed into week 10 of NFL action. Sadly, the Kansas City Chiefs are on bye this week, so do not start your Kansas City Chiefs players. But there's some decent matchups that we're going to get into today. As always, I'm joined by my guy, Dusty Likens. Dusty, what's going on?
Let's do this, man. It's been a fun morning. It's nice and frosty outside. Let you know winter's like almost around the corner, or the cliche Game of Thrones, winter is coming, which means playoff football, not only for the season, but it's creeping up for the fantasy owners. Sirda, I looked at the schedule, and I started to look at matchups for weeks 12 through 14 and 15. We'll get to that obviously a little bit later, but hey, man, CMC was back, and now again we're nervous again.
Yeah, and I suppose we could start there. It's frustrating for the Christian McCaffrey owner if you've spent all season kind of stashing him on your bench, waiting for him to get back to help you make this late season playoff push and get into the postseason and try to carry you to a championship. And he looked fantastic against the Kansas City Chiefs last week. He was the clear number one back. Mike Davis still had a couple of catches, but he only had one carry in that game. He wasn't involved, but Christian McCaffrey did end up leaving late with the shoulder injury that he suffered on a hit from Daniel Sorensen. And, I hope that Christian McCaffrey is going to be fine. It doesn't sound like it's that serious. Like, they're kind of taking it day by day, seeing how he feels. And so there's still a chance he could play this week against the Bucs. It is an absolutely brutal matchup. So, honestly, if Carolina can get by this week without him, I'm fine with them just not playing Christian McCaffrey this week. And, hopefully if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, you had Mike Davis and you held on to Mike Davis just in case. I did not condone dropping him in any way because he is going to have a favorable schedule moving forward after this week in a tough matchup against the Bucs. Lions bad against opposing running backs. Vikings, not terrible. They've still been solid against the run. They're much worse against the pass. You can run on the Broncos. You can run on the Packers. And then Washington and Saints are kind of, the Saints are a terrible matchup, but Washington's kind of so-so. And the Saints are in week 17, so hopefully you don't have a week 17 championship game. So that's I mean, that's three games in his final five that are very favorable after this week, that are his final six. They're very favorable matchups for your fantasy roster. So let's just hope the Panthers can get our guy healthy, because I know me and you definitely need him in our fantasy lineups down the stretch.
It was insane just like seeing how quickly he was such an impact. Like, I know no one cares about individual fantasy teams, so I hadn't had Christian McCaffrey as long as anybody else hadn't, and somehow in my draft in this one league, Mahomes had fallen to the third round. So I had the first overall pick, so I took McCaffrey first round, Mahomes first in the third round. Well, in the first couple weeks of the season, I was blowing teams out, and then games started to go down. It just shows you the impact that he can have for one roster and why in the last few years you've seen people that have won their championships. The high percentage amount of people that win their championships had probably Christian McCaffrey in their roster, so the importance of him is insane. You hit the nail on the head with this week coming up with the Tampa Bay Bucks and their run defense. I mean, you saw what they did to Alvin Kamara on Sunday night. Even though they got blown out in that game, Kamara still didn't have a huge game. But it is kind of nerve-wracking seeing where he's at. But just last week, you know, my fantasy team puts almost 150 points, lead the league. Because why? Because of the importance of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and he's still an unbelievable player. Like, I think right now you would take Dalvin Cook as probably your running back one. I still think Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in football. It's just that he just hasn't been able to play this season. And, you know, hopefully we move past that after this injury and he can stay healthy and stay in your lineup moving forward, because he's an unbelievable player. And Dalvin Cook's been absolutely unbelievable, and I still think Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back in fantasy football. Obviously, Alvin Kamara has been absolutely incredible this season, but what Dalvin Cook has done the last two games, only like two or three other running backs have ever done in NFL history. Like, he's been absolutely bananas. So hopefully Christian McCaffrey gets healthy. Hopefully he gets back in your lineup, and hopefully we make that fantasy playoff push. But there's a lot of good games this week. It's getting tough for me in my survivor pool. I don't really know who I'm going to take this week. I wish I wouldn't have taken the Packers last week, because Big Ben for the Steelers is now on the COVID list. So there's some concern about whether or not he's going to be healthy. He could be cleared by Saturday as long as he gets negative tests all week. So hopefully we get Ben into our lineups. But let's take a look at the Thursday night football matchup. It should be a good game. Two highly competitive AFC South teams. The Colts are looking like they're going to be vying for a playoff spot. Their defense has been one of the surprises of the NFL season. Their defense is absolutely fantastic. The Titans' defense is not fantastic, but they're still a very good football team, very competitive football team. And Dusty, my guy A.J. Brown, is an absolute star, a wide receiver one that you put into your lineup each and every week, and you don't even think about it.
No, yeah, it's top seven-ish, I think, maybe, is where we can go with A.J. Brown, because of just how explosive he is. Like, I'm going to say it. I don't know why I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it's almost like he's T.O., like prime T.O. I don't know if that's a stretch, but the way he's played this year, when he's on the field, when he's healthy, he is literally unstoppable, and he has so many great attributes for a receiver, wide receiver one, that is. Doesn't drop a lot of passes, explosive on slant routes, can take anything to the house, can get jump balls. He's too good for Ryan Tannehill. That's what it is. But he makes Ryan Tannehill look that great. Like, he has Derrick Henry and he has A.J. Brown. But A.J. Brown is a guy you plug, you save, you keep there. The only reason you wouldn't play him is if he's on a bye week. That's literally the only reason you wouldn't play A.J. Brown. In fact, I would take A.J. Brown as a top five receiver next year in fantasy drafts if you didn't already this year.
Yeah, he's going to be, in fantasy drafts next season, he's easily going to be a late first round, early second round type of pick. And he should be, because even in a Titans low volume passing offense, A.J. Brown has still been absolutely nuts. Like, the fact that him and DK Metcalf were on the same college team is still going to be something that just makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, how are those college teams not better? Like, A.J. Brown, he's just, when you look at him out on the football field, He's just bigger, stronger, and faster than everybody else, like DK Metcalf. Like, they're both just freaks. Like, it's absolutely insane. Since A.J. Brown came back from, he was dealing with that banged up knee for a little bit, he's been absolutely nuts. Like, this is his stat line since coming back. 82 yards and a touchdown. 58 yards, two touchdowns. 153 yards and a touchdown. Quiet game against Cincinnati, but that was a bad game. That was one of those weird, like, windy games. 24 yards, still found the end zone. Last week, 101 yards and a touchdown against a Chicago defense that has shut down opposing wide receivers all season. Like, he is just an unstoppable force like DK Metcalf is, and he has to be in your lineup every week without question. You don't even consider ever benching it.
I'd also like to know how many of those big games that he had where he had the 100 yards plus, how many of those games is what? I know he had one last week, I'm pretty sure, where he had a touchdown of at least 35 yards or more where he literally just takes it and then burns people to the house. He's done that several times this year.
Yeah, he's fast enough to burn you deep, and he's also, I mean, similar to DK Metcalf and what he's done all season, is that he can beat you over the top, and even when the coverage is good, he can jump and get the ball, and he's just stronger than you, so you're not going to overpower him. And so there's just not that much you can do. You can play perfect coverage, you're just not going to stop him. Like, if you get him in one-on-one coverage, it's over. Even if you're hip to hip with him, you don't stand a chance because you're not stronger than him, you're not going to jump higher than him, and you're probably not faster than him. He's unbelievable. I love A.J. Brown so much. I wish I had him in all of my dynasty leagues. Unfortunately, I don't have him in any of them.
You get his jersey?
I might. I'll consider it. He's good.
Jersey-worthy?
I like him that much. He's that unbelievable.
He's jersey-worthy.
But the rest of the Titans offense, it is a tough matchup for Derrick Henry. I would like to note, and Derrick Henry coming off of a quiet game, obviously, as well. But I do believe over the last two seasons, the Colts have only allowed 100-yard rusher. I'd have to double-check that. I think I'm quoting that correctly off the top of my head. They've only allowed 100-yard rusher over the last 2 years, and that was Derrick Henry. So the Colts run defense has been absolutely ridiculous. They shut pretty much everybody down that they play. But Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry, and we know that all it takes is for him to break a couple of tackles, and he could take it 70 yards if he needs to take it 70 yards. So you're still putting Derrick Henry in your weekly lineup. I'm curious how you feel about Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Corey Davis is quietly having a very, very productive season. And since A.J. Brown has come back, it's really hurt Jonnu Smith's stock, not Corey Davis. Corey Davis is still getting targets. He had a bad game last week, but it wasn't a great matchup. But when it comes to Jonnu Smith started the season as, like, you know, a top three tight end in the NFL, and he did wind up scoring a touchdown late last week against the Bears, but he only had two catches for 32 yards in the score, and that was his first touchdown since October 13th, so he went almost a calendar month without finding the end zone. Obviously, you're putting Jonnu Smith in your lineup moving forward because tight end is terrible, but I feel like Corey Davis is going to get the more consistent volume over Jonnu Smith. He's kind of played himself into this touchdown-dependent tight end territory.
Yeah, but I think the thing that's important to know about Jonnu Smith is that, yeah, he goes at before this last week, he went 2 for 29, 1 for 9, 1 for 13, and then of course he had the blow-up game against Buffalo where he was 5 for 40 with 2 touchdowns. The thing about those other numbers is they are kind of skewed. They played Pittsburgh in week 7. They played Cincinnati in week 8. Like you said, that Cincinnati game was weird. Pittsburgh's defense is outstanding, but we look at Jonnu Smith. He's a red zone target. Like, that's just where Tannehill uses him the most, and that's where he used him in that Chicago game. And I know that it's hindsight's 2020, but I'm like you, sir. I mean, I was big on Jonnu Smith this year. He's still a top 10 tight end. And if you're going to take that number and break it down, tight end's been atrocious to try to follow because you think of the top three, so then you just got to get it right in the next 4 or 5. Well, Jonnu Smith's one of those guys that you just have to ride week for week. Personally, for me, he did have those terrible 3 weeks. He played tough defenses. But the teams that he played in the first few weeks, he's going to play again, And there were big numbers for Jonnu Smith. Like you said, he was a top five tight end. So for me, I plug him in every week because he's good enough and has enough potential to where he can do what he did last week. Even if it is only 2 for 32 and a touchdown, that's on average at least 11 points in most full-point PPR leagues. That's a pretty damn good number for a tight end this year than trying to have a headache every week where you're like, oh, do I go, do I do Gesicki? Do I do Knox? Who's going to be the guy? Do I do Richard Rodgers? If you've got a guy like Jonnu Smith, just plug him in the spot and just let it go. He's going to get red zone targets. Again, tight end is the hardest position right now to get right in fantasy football. And if you can get a guy that's in top 10 range, that's going to maybe possibly average out through the season and giving you 10 points a week, you cannot go wrong with that. And that's what Jonnu Smith is.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a weekly starter in your lineup because tight end is so bad. But, he is trending more towards a matchup-dependent play because I do worry about the volume of the Titans' passing offense. Like, their passing offense, Jonnu Smith's a talented player, but this passing offense runs through A.J. Brown. And you know, Ryan Tannehill last week, it was another kind of weird week where he only threw 21 total passes, and A.J. Brown still managed, of Ryan Tannehill's 158 passing yards, A.J. Brown had 101 yards of it. He's the clear number one option. And so Jonnu Smith is kind of a more matchup-dependent player, but for the most part, he's going to be in my lineup. And Corey Davis only had 3 targets last week. It was a season low for him. But again, Chicago's been fantastic against opposing wide receivers all season long. And so I don't read too much into that matchup. This is a tough matchup against the Colts as well. But they're beatable through the air more so than they are on the ground. So I would expect the Titans to try to throw a little bit in this game. And as far as the Colts go, you know, it's a favorable matchup, but the Colts offense just isn't an offense that I want pieces of right now. You know, Jordan Wilkins led the team in touches again last week out of their backfield. You know, I'm not necessarily selling Jonathan Taylor unless you could still get some value for him, but I doubt the value's there because everybody's worried about what his role is right now. And, you know, maybe he is banged up. Maybe there's some truth to what Frank Reich has been saying. But he fumbled last week, and then after he fumbled, it was all Jordan Wilkins. And their passing offense is a mess. Michael Pittman did come back last week, and he did get a decent amount of targets, and he did have a lot of routes. So Michael Pittman could be somebody that you take a look at. Yeah, I think he's more of a dart throw because it's a Thursday night game. And, you know, the Titans secondary is bad. They've been beatable all season. But I'm not attacking these Colts pass catchers in my fantasy lineups. I'd rather just avoid it. And same goes for their backfield. I still think you need to add Jordan Wilkins on waivers if he's available in your league because his role seems to continue to expand. But you'd like to hope that Jonathan Taylor is going to be the guy moving forward. But I don't know. We'll see because Jordan Wilkins has just looked like a more explosive player. Jonathan Taylor, like even though the Colts have a great offensive line, it seems like every week he's just underperforming even when he was getting the opportunities. Now he's not getting the opportunities. I don't see how he can be a weekly starter in your lineup at this point. He's more of a matchup-dependent flex play that you're just hoping finds the end zone.
Yeah, I think it's – I don't know if it's like now that we've done it. Maybe you and I did it a couple of weeks ago. But I think we missed. I know we missed on Jonathan Taylor because I saw Jonathan Taylor being – not Kareem Hunt of 2017, obviously not that high. That was league-leading rusher and took the league by storm. But similar like shades of that where there was more offense of numbers that were available, especially the way Phillip Rivers likes to divvy out the ball, like how he was in Los Angeles. But, sort of. I mean, it's if you can trade him, I think if you can get some sort of value for him, maybe, or if he's – he's more of like a package deal kind of guy. Like you're really trying to go get a big top receiver, but you want to pad in the deal a little bit. So you throw in Jonathan Taylor and maybe somebody's like, oh yeah, he's supposed to be. I don't know. I think we're a year early on Jonathan Taylor. We missed it. And that's all I have with Colts offense.
Yeah. And so with Jonathan Taylor, it's just, I never necessarily looked at him like he was going to be a lock RB1 is a rookie. And I've been talking about it a lot. Really, this rookie running back class, for the most part, has been a disappointment this season. Like, you know, there was a reason that there wasn't a a Christian McCaffrey type of player who was going to go in the top 10 at running back this year. There's a lot of guys who were talented, who were good college backs, who could have large roles in the NFL, and who could be number one running backs eventually. They're just not going to do it as rookies. And Jonathan Taylor, I just haven't been that impressed with him from what I've seen. And he's got a long way to go in his development. He's got a lot to learn at the NFL level. And hopefully he does turn that around. Hopefully we see him have some big games moving forward, because the Colts do actually have a really, really favorable running back schedule the rest of the year. So if you're a running back needy fantasy owner, you're kind of a fringe playoff contender, he is a guy that I would target trade for at value if I can get him. If I can find a fantasy owner who's tired of it, they're tired of him splitting carries, they're tired of, you know, him just not producing with the opportunities that he's getting, I think there's some value there if you can try to trade a guy like, oh, I don't know. I'd probably trade David Montgomery for Jonathan Taylor right now just because of the schedule. Moving forward, Jonathan Taylor's got a much easier schedule, and I still think that if he is healthy, they want to try to get him more reps and try to develop him a little bit more. So he's still a guy that I would target. It's just, you know, we really got to see how it shakes out the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
The Houston Texans at the Cleveland Browns. This should actually be a really good game. Deshaun Watson, since Bill O'Brien was fired, Deshaun Watson has really come on fantasy-wise. He's been fantastic. The Texans actually got a couple of wins under their belt now. And Will Fuller, obviously a weekly starter. Thankfully, they didn't trade him to the Green Bay Packers. I've got Deshaun Watson in my guillotine league. It looks good for me moving forward. Deshaun's been fantastic. Will Fuller's quietly having a fantastic season. And Brandon Cooks, since they got rid of Bill O'Brien, Brandon Cooks is a weekly fantasy starter right now. He hasn't had less than 9 targets in any game since they got rid of Bill. And he's getting consistent looks, and he's finding the end zone. He's got 3 touchdowns in his last 4 games. Brandon Cooks is a weekly starter for me right now, and this is a favorable matchup against the Browns secondary that hasn't been good all season.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we could literally sit here and talk about how great this Texans offense is once Bill O'Brien leaves. And even still, they have a defensive coordinator who has no idea what they're doing coaching, keeping this team in a positive form. But slowly but surely, Deshaun Watson is turning heads in fantasy football. I guess that's kind of interesting. But also, I don't know, it makes me feel apathetic to say, because I think we should have seen it coming. In fact, a buddy of mine even asked me, they said, if I had the opportunity straight up to trade Lamar Jackson for Deshaun Watson, should I do it? And I told him no, because obviously you just ride out with Lamar Jackson because there's so much potential there. But you look at what Deshaun Watson's done the last 4 weeks. In ESPN, this is per their league, so full point PPR, 24 points, 32 points, 24, 24. He's the 6th ranked quarterback in their system. Now, obviously, Mahomes is 1, Russell Wilson's 2, but that shows you where Deshaun Watson is and where this team was. And it hasn't been anything that has affected him, except the only thing that it might affect is that he's just going to keep getting better. And he is kind of a serious talk when it comes to top quarterbacks this year in fantasy football.
I'd trade Lamar Jackson for Deshaun Watson right now.
Right now you would do that?
Yes.
100%? Wouldn't even think about it?
Yep. I generally don't target quarterbacks for trades in fantasy, because I think they're, for the most part, they're pretty interchangeable. Like this season, they're absolutely interchangeable unless you have Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. And every other guy has been, for the most part, pretty interchangeable. And Lamar Jackson, I love Lamar Jackson. I still don't think that we've seen the best version of the Baltimore Ravens. But he's been a huge letdown this season. Like, based on where he was going, he was number one, number two quarterback off the board in every fantasy draft, going like late second, early third round in a lot of fantasy drafts. And he has not come close to that level of production as opposed to where he was going in drafts. Like, he is, you know, if you drafted Saquon Barkley number 2 overall, he got injured, tore his ACL. Nothing you can do about that. That's a lost season. Lamar Jackson has done worse to your fantasy team on a week in, week out basis based on where you drafted him, because you could get Ryan Tannehill in the 11th round and he's been better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the only thing that it's hard for me to do is that when we get to this point in the season, when trades start actually becoming more of a serious thought than just shooting darts at a dartboard early on in the season because either somebody gets hurt. You look at Lamar Jackson's playoff run, week 13 through 16 in most leagues, Dallas, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Giants. That's why I kind of hold on to Lamar Jackson a little bit more than maybe just right now, 100% shoot from the hip, bang, trade him, I don't want him, he's going to let me down. Because hopefully in your league, you're still in contention for the playoffs, so hopefully you're still trying to get to that point, and you have to start looking at those matchups later on in the season. And the other thing, too, is that hopefully you did your homework and you found a quarterback that you can play matchup-wise while you don't play Lamar Jackson. And you have to think that it's a full season. These numbers have to weigh themselves out. Lamar's going to come around. I'm not 100% ready to deal him for Deshaun Watson. I get it. It makes sense if you look at it from that perspective. But I'm holding him on because I'm looking at the last couple weeks in the playoff push. Now, I get it. It can be, you know, kind of weird to say that because if you have to get to the playoffs first, if you have to make that push, then yes, you have to make a trade. But I look at those weeks of the playoff start, and that's a very, very, very favorable matchup for Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I'm done sitting around waiting for it. Like you can say we're gonna get there. He's gonna turn this thing around. We're in week 10. This isn't week 5. We're right in week 10 of the NFL season, and so yeah, you got to make a move. If you took Lamar Jackson in the second round, I'd be shocked if you're a fringe playoff team right now. And if you are, credit to you. You built a talented enough roster to be in contention despite the fact that he is letting you down pretty much each and every week. And so I love Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he's got a favorable fantasy playoff matchup. But if you're 500 right now, you can't wait till week 13, week 14. Like you need production right now, and I would much rather have Deshaun Watson. David Johnson did leave last week's game with the concussion. He's in the protocol this week, so you got to kind of pay attention to that. Duke Johnson did take over as a lead back. I would imagine he's going to stay there. Hopefully, maybe we'll finally get a taste of Duke Johnson as a legitimate, you know, lead running back in an offense. If David Johnson doesn't go, Duke Johnson's in play for me. Cleveland's running defense has been pretty good all year, though. And as far as the Browns go, Baker Mayfield's on the COVID list, but he could get cleared sometime this week. And so if he gets removed from the COVID list, Baker Mayfield's in play for me. If you're a Patrick Mahomes owner and you're desperate for a streamer, I would consider playing Baker Mayfield, but I'm not inserting him into my lineup if I have anybody else that's a viable starting fantasy quarterback. And as far as their pass catchers go, it's Austin Hooper and Jarvis Landry. That's about it. Nick Chubb was cleared to return to practice this week, or return from IR. So he could be activated as early as this game. If Nick Chubb goes in this game, I'm playing him and Kareem Hunt because you can run all over the Houston Texans.
Yeah, not only can you run all over the Houston Texans, if they don't have Baker Mayfield, they're not going to throw the ball as much. So dual running backs are going to get about even touches there. I'm kind of high on Austin Hooper this week just because of the matchup, and also if there is the chance Baker doesn't play. For some reason, there's like this weird trend that backup quarterbacks always seem to find the tight end a little bit more when they're in play. So I'm kind of high on Austin Hooper this week. I think he has a big week. So if you're looking for a streaming tight end, like maybe you want to just ignore what we said about Geno Smith where you just plug a guy at the top 10. I'm big on Austin Hooper this week. And also if Nick Chubb plays, I'm also big on Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in the same lineup together if you did handcuff those two.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. We already talked about this a little bit. Christian McCaffrey, they haven't ruled him out or anything like that. He's day-to-day, but there's a chance he doesn't go. If he does not play in this one, then Mike Davis is 100% in my lineup. I know that it's a tough matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we just know Mike Davis's role. Like, he is guaranteed, if he plays in this game, Mike Davis is guaranteed, you know, to get you 8 to 10 PPR points. If he finds the end zone, even better. You just got to put him in your lineup. You know, he did against Tampa Bay earlier in the season. They did lose that game. And that was a game where Christian McCaffrey got hurt and left. That was in week two. He only had one carry for 1 yard, but he did have eight catches for 74 yards. So, like, whatever running back is their lead running back is going to have a role in their passing game. So even if Christian McCaffrey doesn't go, Mike Davis needs to be in your lineup. I'm curious how you feel about these Panthers wide receivers. Curtis Samuels had back-to-back big games for the Panthers. He was their top wide receiver last week. Robbie Anderson, still a PPR machine. He's a safe PPR floor guy who's going to get you at least 10 points a game, basically, because he just gets volume. And DJ Moore is the forgotten guy in this offense. He did nothing last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's been way too up and down for me to want to put him in my lineup against a strong Tampa Bay defense, even coming off a horrible game against the Saints.
Yeah, I didn't know that DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson led the NFL in yards receiving as a duo. That's pretty interesting. I think Robbie Anderson's been the surprise find slash receiver this year. I mean, I was always kind of like thought he could do it. He kind of did it a little bit in New York. Obviously, things didn't always go well in New York. They never do for Jets players. But yeah, interesting receivers. I think the way that Teddy Bridgewater looked last week, he looks like a guy who's accepted a role as a starting quarterback, and that's his spot. Now, they looked like a more complete team with Christian McCaffrey. We talked about this game enough. I will say this. If McCaffrey goes, don't expect a lot of numbers. Last year when he played the Bucs, it wasn't good. Bucs defense against the run, obviously, is good. We've already talked about it. My only question is, sir, we talked about trading Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Are you given any interesting thoughts about trading McCaffrey right now?
No.
Just hold on to him?
I mean, it would depend on what the offer is. Like, everybody's always up for grabs in some circumstance. Like, you know, if...
Because you can still get a big return with McCaffrey, I think, right now.
See, I don't think you can. I think everybody's going to try to get him at value if they can because of the shoulder injury now. So, like... if I could get Derrick Henry for Christian McCaffrey, I might make that deal. But if somebody's offering me Jonathan Taylor for Christian McCaffrey, I'm obviously not going to take that deal. And at this point, I've waited so long into the season to have him back. I'm not giving him up, you know, right when he returns to watch some other team get that production for him. I've held on to him for this long. I'm going to ride it out, and my fantasy season's going to live and die with him at this point. If I wanted to trade him, I should have done it a month ago.
That's fair. I think sometimes you can get wild with some of these predictions and how to trade people. And I didn't know if there was like maybe a couple receivers you could package together for that late run. But anyway,
you want to give me Dalvin Cook
and all their options that have been up and down and so frustrating on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you want to give me Dalvin Cook right now, we can talk about Christian McCaffrey. That's
okay, Dalvin McCook is going straight 2012 Jamal Charles.
Yeah, he's been absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, as far as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go, it's a train wreck. You know, obviously just absolutely god-awful game against the Saints on Sunday Night Football. I don't know what Tom Brady's deal is with the Saints now. His worst games of the year were against the Saints. They were completely dismantled by the Saints both times they played them this season. Chris Godwin was back. He didn't do much. I mean, the entire offense didn't do anything. They only ran the football five times. Ronald Jones did start the game, but as soon as they got down, they went straight to Leonard Fournette as their pass catching back. I still think there's value in positive game scripts for Ronald Jones, but it's going to be hard to find those games because you're basically trying to predict those ahead of time. If you're thin at running back, I still think he's a weekly guy who could be in play because I think if they get in positive game scripts, I still think that Ronald Jones is going to be their early down running back. It's just when they start having to pass a lot, they're going to go to Leonard Fournette because he's just better at it than Ronald Jones is. Mike Evans, disappointing game. This whole thing with Mike Evans and Tom Brady, like, did Mike Evans do, like, something like Nick Foles did? Like, Tom Brady refuses to shake Nick Foles' hand because he clearly hates him for whatever reason. I don't know what Nick Foles did to Tom Brady. I don't know what Mike Evans did. I don't know what Mike Evans did to Tom Brady because Mike Evans, Tom Brady's just refusing to target him downfield. And it doesn't make sense because there's been multiple times this season where you could see Mike Evans just wide open and Tom Brady doesn't even look his way. There's multiple times in that Saints game where Mike Evans was streaking down the field wide open. It's not like the Saints it's not like the Saints secondary has been locked down this season. They've been giving up points left and right, and Tom Brady just doesn't look his way. It doesn't make sense. And I don't know what to do anymore because Mike Evans is too talented for you to bench on a weekly basis because he's always capable of having a monster game. But for some reason, Tom Brady's just not looking to get him the ball. And now they've got Antonio Brown added into the mix.
Yeah, but wasn't Mike Evans this week? It was personal, though, right? Isn't like Marshawn Lattimore and him? Is that that guy's name that they always battle?
Yes, he's had some terrible, terrible games against Marshawn Lattimore. But yeah, like this past week, he wasn't terrible because Marshawn Lattimore was all over him. Marshawn Lattimore's having a terrible season. And Mike Evans was open multiple times, and Tom Brady just didn't throw him the football.
Yeah, but don't we do this every year with Mike Evans where right when we want to give up on it, it's like the Sopranos where Silvio Dante is like, just when I want to get out, they keep pulling me back in. That's Mike Evans. He has a terrible week, and then the next week he'll come back and he'll have like 33 points. He'll have 10 catches for 170 yards and two touchdowns. And it's like he wasn't targeted. I remember at least one time Brady targeted Mike Evans twice back-to-back, and they just didn't seem to be on the same page. I'm like you. I don't know if he's done something to piss Tom Brady off. You know damn well what Nick Foles did to Tom Brady. Not only did he show that man up in the Super Bowl, he's also got a better nickname than Tom Brady that speaks more truth. That's why he's mad at Nick Foles. But, yeah, the Mike Evans thing's frustrating. The Chris Godwin situation's frustrating. Antonio Brown looked completely lost in that game. I know he still had, like, 30 yards on a few receptions, but looks like the timing's still off. And then, yeah, it's just the Tampa Bay Bucs are, for as good as they are, as consistent as they can be, their offense is, I'm completely lost with what to do with their offense every week.
Oh, and, you know, Mike Evans has had some boomer bust accusations in the past, you know, but this season he's only got 200 yard performances and it was 104 yards and 122 yards. He scored in both those games. Early on in the year, he wasn't getting any yards, but he was scoring touchdowns. He's not even doing that now.
Right.
But last season, like his boom games last season were nuts. Just absolute monster performances. Like, and he only had 300 yard games last year, but he did have multiple games where he was like right on the cusp of having 100 yards. And so it's just been frustrating if you're Mike Evans owner, because you know the talent, you know how good he is. Like last season he had a game where he had 190 yards, three touchdowns, 198, two touchdowns, 180, one touchdown. So like when he blew up last year, he blew up and he was the wide receiver one on those weeks, I would have to imagine. He hasn't come close to that type of production this year, and I don't think it's Mike Evans' fault. I think it's Tom Brady's fault.
You blaming Tom?
It's 100% Tom Brady's fault. Tom Brady's not getting him the football.
No, I mean, that hurts Bruce. Bruce is the guy that always says, hey, he's just fine, nothing's wrong. Maybe Bruce can't get the right play drawn up, but, I mean, he's not the one throwing the ball. So I'm with you on the Tom thing. It's just, I figured it'd be a little bit better than this, but I'm like you. I'm kind of mentally exhausted when it comes to Tampa Bay.
Let's burn through another couple of matchups real quick before we get out of here. The Green Bay Packers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags coming off of a loss, but still a nice performance. DJ Chark had a monster game from rookie quarterback Jake Luton. I don't think you can start any Jag this week besides James Robinson.
Not even DJ?
DJ Chark is incredible, and I absolutely love his talent. You know how I feel about him as a player. Right. I love him. He was fantastic last week, and it was really the best he's looked all season because he's been kind of battling injuries all year. But the Packers, the one area that their defense has been great at this season, because their defense isn't getting sacks like they were last year either. Their defense, in that regard, has been kind of a letdown. It's in their secondary. Jair Alexander is a shutdown corner, And DJ Chark is probably going to see a lot of Jair Alexander, so that worries me for this matchup, especially with a rookie quarterback in Jake Luton. They already said Gardner Minshew's probably going to miss another week, and so they're going to have a rookie sixth-round quarterback going against one of the best teams in the NFC. I just don't like the matchup, and I mean, I would probably still start DJ Chark because I doubt I have anybody better than him. And you're basically just hoping for garbage time touchdowns because I expect the Packers to win and win big.
Yeah, you said it all the important stuff right at the end. And I know we got to keep burning through these, but I'm starting DJ Chark because the backup quarterbacks always go find their one receiver. When I say one receiver, I mean the wide receiver one. They did it last week. Yes, Green Bay has a shutdown corner and a shutdown defense. They might get blown out by the Packers, but the targets are going to be there in a high number, so I'm just willing to ride that gamble. And I'm like you. You probably don't have a better receiver to put in with DJ Chark because he's that good and you drafted him that high. Obviously, if you have a great matchup, think about that. But I would start DJ Chark just because I feel like the targets will be there enough to, even if he only has four catches for 75 yards, that's better than probably what you have on the bench. And you know that that's just probably the low ball of what it can be because he'll have at least 8 to 10 targets.
And obviously you're starting Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Jones, assuming Aaron Jones is healthy. He did play last week, so I assume he's going to be good to go in this week. The Chargers at the Dolphins. This is all of a sudden a super intriguing fantasy matchup.
Justin, my game of the week.
Yeah, Justin Herbert has been absolutely lights out. Keenan Allen, since Justin Herbert took over as a starter, has been a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL each and every week. Hunter Henry's been a huge letdown, so he's a matchup dependent tight end, just like so many other tight ends are. Justin Jackson did get hurt last week, so you know it's Joshua Kelly. I think Justin Jackson. We haven't gotten an injury report on him yet this week. If he's good to go, I think you can start Justin Jackson this week. If not, I guess it's Joshua Kelly. But the Dolphins' defense is much better than people realize. And especially over the last 2 weeks, their defense has been absolutely fantastic. And so it's a tough matchup, but I'm still definitively starting Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. But I really want to get your thoughts on the Dolphins, Dusty. Tua coming off the very strong performance. He does, in my opinion, Tua needs to be added in all leagues. I don't think he needs to become your weekly starter or anything. But he should throw him on the bench, and let's see what he does over the next couple of weeks because he's going to be the starter moving forward for the Dolphins. The Chiefs have to play the Dolphins here in a few weeks. There's a chance that the Dolphins are like 7-5, 8-4 or something like by the time they play the Chiefs because they've got a very favorable schedule over the next month, and they could easily win this game against the Chargers. I loved what Tua did last week. Preston Williams did get hurt. A little worried about him in this game. But Mike Gesicki, I think he's going to get more involved in the offense with Tua under center. I think Devontae Parker is going to be more involved. It is a tough matchup, but I'd still play both of those guys this week. I'm avoiding the Dolphins' backfield, though, until they get Myles Gaskin back.
Yeah, I'm with you when it comes to the backfield, but I mean, you think about last week when you look at how Tua, now granted, this was game of the week last week. This is why Miami is last year's Tampa Bay / Carolina Panthers team for me, because Miami is better than people think. That defense, like I think you tweeted last week, is a little bit better than people give it credit for. And not only that, but Tua is going to sling it. Like, Tua's not there to just throw 20 times a game. Last week, Tua was 20 of 28, 248, two touchdowns. He spread the ball out evenly. Devontae Parker had 6 receptions. Preston Williams had 4 receptions. Gesicki had 3 for 42. Grant, 4 for 35. Parker and Williams are great receivers for guys like Tua Tagovailoa because he can get those guys the ball. He loves to throw it deep. He's going to throw the ball. He's not just going to be shy. And boy, does this game have pure sports horny written all over it because it's Herbert, it's Tua. Both guys were drafted to be franchise quarterbacks. They both throw the ball out. This game could be another one of those 35, 38 type of games that just take forever to finish, but you also don't want them to end. And there's just so much fantasy value here with Parker and Williams and Keenan and Herbert and Tua. And I mean, there's just so much going on in this game. So I'm super excited for this one.
Yes, I am legitimately excited for it. It's going to be a game that I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to because it's two young, exciting quarterbacks in the NFL. So hopefully that game lives up to the expectation. He's Dusty Likens. I'm Steven Serger. Thank you guys so much for joining us each and every week. Ugh, I just like cracked a little bit right there.
I was going to say we had a perfect podcast till that.
If you guys have missed me on Fantasy Football Sunday, I know I've been off for 3 weeks. I've missed you guys too. Chiefs schedule kind of dictates when we're on the air these days. I will be back this Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on 610 Sports Radio.
Let's go.
So let's go through some matchups on Sunday morning. Listen to the podcast. Tune in Sunday morning. Let's go win. Let's try to get into the playoffs over the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Be easy.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.